listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host for this week's episode.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Burt Jones, and I'm filling in for Dr. Mike Chupp this week on CMDA Matters while he's leading a CMDA biblical tour to Italy. I'm so glad that you joined us for today's podcast. It's an honor for me to introduce this week's guest because it's a cameo of courage with Vanessa Sivage, a pediatric registered nurse. If you've never heard of Vanessa before, please keep listening to hear how she stepped out in faith and courage to protect vulnerable children in Texas. It's an amazing story.
Well, I want to get my interview today with my special guest started by referring to a couple of scriptures. In Luke 17, Jesus starts off telling his disciples that things that cause people to sin in verse 1 are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the depths of the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. And then he says, so watch yourselves. So Jesus wasn't referring to the Pharisees and Sadducees necessarily at the time. He was saying to his disciples, watch yourselves that you don't cause one of these little ones to sin. And then the next chapter, that famous passage, the disciples trying to keep the babies and little ones away from Jesus. And he says, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And if you don't receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you're not going to enter it. Well, my guest today is Vanessa Sivage, who's from Houston, Texas. She's a pediatric registered nurse who exposed the illegal use of Medicaid to cover cross-sex hormones and transgender treatments for minors at what I read is one of the largest children's hospitals in America, Texas Children's Hospital. She blew the whistle on some things that were happening there at her home hospital, and then received an unexpected visit from a couple of FBI agents in July of 2023 in an attempt to intimidate her into silence. And despite these threats to her safety, Vanessa has come forward very publicly, starting earlier this summer, with a journalist named Christopher Rufo to expose the fraud and wrongdoing at Texas Children's Hospital. And so without any further ado, Vanessa Sivage, thank you for joining us today on CMDA Matters.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I had the opportunity to watch an interview that you did about a month ago, I believe, in Houston at the local Fox affiliate. And I was just so impressed with your passion and your desire to not live by lies. Many of our listeners will be familiar with Alexander Solzhenitsyn's challenge to his own people as he was booted out of the Soviet Union. Don't live by lies. So would you tell our audience how you recently refused to live by lies as a pediatric nurse at Texas Children's Hospital?
Absolutely. And I so appreciate the opportunity to share my story with your audience and with your listeners today. Like you mentioned, my name is Vanessa Sivage. I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. I graduated from nursing school in 2015 and accepted a job, what I thought was going to be my dream job, mm-hmm. Texas Children's Hospital. For those that aren't aware, Texas Children's Hospital is the jewel of the Texas Medical Center, the largest medical center in the world. Mm. It is the most prestigious teaching hospital and is consistently rated in the top three of pediatric hospitals in the United States. Parents come from all over the world for their children to be seen and treated by clinicians and by providers. And so naturally, anyone who works there will tell you that it is a tremendous privilege and an honor to work there and to be a part of this team. And that's truly how I felt for many years. I received the bulk of my training in the cardiology department, which is the number one pediatric cardiology department in the United States, something I was very proud of. 3 years later, in 2021, I accepted a new position in a pediatric multi-specialty clinic. And this is a specialty clinic with about 15 specialties, one of them being endocrinology, in which transgender patients were coming on a weekly basis to be seen by Dr. Richard Roberts, who is one of the top transgender doctors in this hospital system. And before I continue, I just want to be very clear about the language here, because I think it's important to mention. I, as a Bible-believing Christian and as a person of faith, do not believe that there is such a thing as a transgender child. I think, and I believe, based upon my faith and what the Word of God tells me, that He has created the male and female in Genesis 1. We see that. And so I believe that very firmly. And so I think it's important to refer to children who are, you know, categorized as having gender dysphoria as children confused about their sex, because that is what it is they are confused ultimately by the father of lies, the enemy. Right. But we can get into that in a little bit. And so to answer your question, I, in 2021, started seeing children who came in with their parents who were confused. And to touch on this very briefly, one of the most devastating parts of this story for me is that many of these patients, specifically the girls, had a multitude of associated health issues. Many of these girls were depressed, they were anxious, they were autistic, they had previous attempts of suicide or self-harm in their record. And now they're coming in because they're confused about their sex. And that is all of this, you know, when you look at everything going on with these children, it just breaks your heart, because mm-hmm. you really start to see and understand that there is so much going on internally for them. They are in a state of confusion and turmoil. Ultimately, I believe that they are being deceived and manipulated into believing that a hormone will solve their problem, that it will solve their confusion, and that nothing could be further from the truth. And so what ended up happening was I wrote an op-ed in August of 2022 called What Happened to Do No Harm, A Nurse's Firsthand View of the Transgender Craze. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that a little bit later, but I was very publicly critical of what I was seeing in my work. But it's really hard. You know, you don't know what to do. If you feel as a person working in an organization that is hostile to your beliefs and your values, it's very difficult to know what to do, because you feel outnumbered, you feel helpless, you feel overwhelmed, you feel like nothing that you could possibly do could have an impact or could change the harm that is actively taking place in this hospital system, right? And that's truly how I felt. I thought to myself, well, I'm just one person. There's nothing I can do. And ultimately, that's not what happened. And God worked through that. But to answer your question, the hospital had engaged in a series of lies. They had said that they were not providing gender-affirming care. They were not providing cross-sex hormones to children. And they had made multiple statements to this effect, even scrubbing the existence of the transgender program from their website so that parents and lawmakers could not see the fact that children were being treated in a robust transgender medicine program. They were coming. They were being transitioned into the opposite sex, until a very brave whistleblower, who we now know as Dr. Eitan Haim, came forward in May of 2023 to expose that the hospital had been lying.
And just, if I could just ask Vanessa, so that our listeners understand, in the state of Texas, last year, we even had some members who gave testimony in your state legislature that led to Governor Abbott signing into law a bill. Tell our listeners about that, because it has obviously a significance here.
Right after Dr. Haim came forward in May of 2023 to expose that the hospital was concealing transgender treatments from the public and from lawmakers, the Texas legislature promptly, a few days later, passed a bill that effectively ended and criminalized gender-affirming care in the state of Texas. And that was due in large part to Dr. Haim's testimony, because what happened was several Democrats in the Texas legislature flipped their votes to vote against transgender medicine, to vote against the hospital. Mm-hmm. And that would have never happened had this testimony exposing the hospital's misconduct and deceit in this area, had that not come out a few days before. So Dr. Haim deserves a tremendous amount of credit for what happened in the Texas legislature.
Well, what was the final straw that broke the back that said, I'm no longer going to work in this specialty clinic? Was there a particular patient or a day you just said, I'm done here, I want out of this unit, and I'm going to be a whistleblower?
I remember one day in particular, I was working at this clinic that I was at, and the doctor asked me to go into a patient's room, and unbeknownst to me, this patient was a boy confused about his sex. Mm-hmm. And I was asked to go into his room and teach him how to administer an injection to himself, one that he could administer throughout the week at home. And so nurses do this all the time. We go in and we teach patients on a multitude of different things of how to do something. And I didn't think much of it until later, as I was documenting what I had done, I realized that this is a patient confused about their sex and that they're going to utilize what I had taught him to administer estrogen to himself to affirm the false identity that he had adopted in transitioning to a female. Mm-hmm. And that really was a devastating moment for me, because I, from every fiber of my being, knew that this was so wrong and that I could no longer even have like an indirect role in continuing the harming of kids, because that's what it is. It's harming them. And so that really influenced my decision to come forward as an anonymous whistleblower in May of 2023. A few days after Dr. Heim came forward, I came forward behind him, and I just affirmed what he had reported as true. I affirmed his testimony, because I was actually a nurse working in the clinic where this was taking place. But according to the hospital, it wasn't taking place. There was no program of this kind at all. But I knew that that was a lie. So I said, you know what? I'm going to come forward anonymously. I'm going to provide testimony with journalist Christopher Rufo, affirming that kids are being seen in a transgender clinic, that they are being given cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers.
So then at some point in time, a couple of FBI agents showed up on your front door and you recorded the whole thing on your Ring doorbell. When did that happen subsequent to your whistleblowing, supposedly anonymous testimony?
2 months after I came forward anonymously, the legislature had passed this bill in Texas, very encouraging to know that this was officially going to be ended in the state. And I was very, very proud of that. And that brought me a lot of peace. Little did I know that that was just the beginning of the story here. 2 months later, in July of 2023, on a Monday evening, I remember like it was yesterday, my husband and I were eating dinner with friends, and there was a knock on the front door. And my husband and I go to answer the door, only to discover that two federal agents are asking to speak with me about issues at my work. They flashed their badges. They said they were from the FBI, and they informed me that I was a person of interest in an investigation targeting an anonymous whistleblower who, in their words, had violated HIPAA by releasing patient information to the public. And I knew that this was a lie, because Dr. Heim's testimony that they were referring to contained redacted documents mm-hmm. that in any way exposed the identity of any patient in any way. But they were trying to manipulate me and to scare me into aiding their investigation of exposing Dr. Heim's anonymous identity at the time to the world. And they didn't call him a whistleblower. They called him a leaker. They said he had broken the law. And they used a lot of intimidating threats to make me feel like if I did not help them, they couldn't protect me. They said my job was at risk and my job was in danger. And, you know, it was truly a pivotal moment where my husband and I, you know, looked at each other after they left. And we were like, you know, first I turned to my husband and I said, first of all, I don't regret anything I've done, and we will never help them. We will never, ever, ever help them. And we had a decision to make at that point. And that's really where we turn to our faith in God.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. Have you encountered a difficult patient care decision at your hospital? Do you have a question about how to maintain Hippocratic traditions within your work as a healthcare professional? We know our members are looking for resources on today's top bioethical issues, and we're here to help. CMDA's Ethics Hotline is an on-call program assisting members who are facing these difficult patient care decisions or questions. The hotline is provided by a panel of Christian ethicists who also formulate CMDA's ethical position statements that are based on scientific, moral, and biblical principles. You can reach the hotline by calling 423-844-1000 or by visiting cmda.org/ethics. Have you heard about freedomtocare.org? It is the hub for CMDA's advocacy work. There you will find resources, ways to get involved, information about active federal bills that we are tracking, and much more. Freedom to Care is focused on educating, encouraging, and equipping citizens to advocate our First Amendment freedoms. Plus, we enable healthcare professionals to uphold life-honoring principles found within traditional Hippocratic medical ethics. For more information, visit freedomtocare.org. That's freedom, the number 2, care.org. Let's jump right back into this week's episode.
You know, you were interviewed in Houston, and I watched that interview, and you referred to a scripture that became a real motivation for you, a basis for saying, I'm going to go public. Tell our listeners about that scripture from Ephesians 5 that you shared.
Absolutely. Well, there's a couple of scriptures that were super meaningful to us. The first one is found in Ephesians 5, and it says, have nothing to do with the worthless deeds of evil and darkness, but expose them, because everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And so to me, that speaks to a calling on believers in Jesus, believers in Christ, that we are to take an active role in dismantling the lies that Satan has convinced a vast majority, at least, of Americans who believe that this is life-saving, that gender-affirming care is, quote-unquote, life-saving, that we need to expose that for the lie that it is, and that we calls us to really be not passive in that, but active participants in dismantling the web of lies the enemy has created surrounding this topic. The second passage in scripture that I often refer to really has to do with what role am I going to play in this? And in the weeks following the FBI's visit, I read Ephesians 2, and it says, for we are God's workmanship, we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance that we would walk in. And that speaks to the fact that God has a sovereign purpose for every single person. He has good works that he has set aside that we would walk in. And I realized that this was the good work that God has set aside for me, that I would walk in. That was a very convicting thing for me to understand that this might have been the most terrifying experience, the most unforeseen and unexpected thing that could have happened. But this was not unforeseen to God.
Yeah, yeah. I just realized that you wrote an article entitled, What Happened to Do No Harm, a Nurse's Firsthand Look at the Transgender Craze. And you wrote that in August of 2022. And you wrote in there something very, very powerful, very strong, which it might be a little offensive to some of our listeners out there. We are in the midst of a pandemic of cowardice, a deafening silence of adults in the medical profession who have misplaced their spine for fear of losing their livelihoods, reputation, and professional credibility. Did you see this coming when you wrote that a couple of years ago?
That's a great question. And that is a very strong language, as you said. I truly believe what I said. Mm-hmm. It's not meant in an offensive way. It's meant to wake people up to the fact that there are more important things worth defending than your career and your 401k, you know? And that's very difficult for many people. And listen, I am deeply familiar with the risks that I've taken and the steps that I've taken, because it has come at a tremendous cost.
Sure it has. Right?
And so for people who are weighing those risks and those costs, I completely understand the fear. But ultimately what it boils down to and what I had to come to was, am I going to fear God? Or am I going to fear what man can do to me? Mm-hmm. Whose opinion am I going to value more? Am I doing this for the applause of man or for the applause of God? And so once you reframe this issue for someone who believes in the sovereignty of God in their life through that lens, that nothing happens without the hand of God, nothing happens without his knowledge, then that brought me a lot of peace to know that this was God ordaining my steps and ultimately making this extremely obvious that this was what I was meant to do.
Well, it was almost prophetic that you would write such an article a little over 2 years ago and then would have the decision to make in your own life, Vanessa, am I going to have the spine that I say has been lost? And you obviously have. Now, what about feedback from other staff at any level, whether other nurses or physicians or any at Texas Children? Have they given you either positive and or negative feedback about what you've done?
Within the hospital, within the organization, I've received very little feedback. But I am super thankful because I've received so many letters and messages of support from outside, from all over the world, from all over the country, from medical professionals who feel very similar to me, that they feel outnumbered and helpless and overwhelmed because they're working in a hostile environment. And it can be a really scary thing to come against the medical industrial complex with its infinite amount of funds and attorneys and power and prestige. That's a very scary thing for many people. It was scary for me. You know, I definitely am familiar with that. So I feel a lot of compassion and empathy for people who find themselves in my position or similar. But ultimately, it comes back to this is about saving the lives of children who are being harmed.
Well, I heard you say in a previous interview, I'm not the first person to stand up on this issue, and God willing, I'm not going to be the last. And so that degree of confidence and hope in your fellow healthcare professionals that they will stand up. And I'm just going to be honest with you, Vanessa, my concern has been that if the House of Medicine, and in particular those of faith within the House of Medicine, aren't willing to speak up to protect children. Of course, there's the whole abortion issue that is just right now on the front and center stage in America. But even this whole issue of hurting children with the CAS review and so much literature out there, if we're not willing to protect children, are we willing to protect our faith? Are we willing to speak up about our Lord? Because if it's so obvious that children are being injured by these treatments and we're not willing to speak up to protect them, I wonder how we will ever muster up the courage to speak out and acknowledge our Lord Jesus and our faith in the public healthcare square. Any comments about that?
I think it boils down to two things. I think it boils for me as I've examined like my life and the events that have led me to this place. Two things have really stood out. Number one, I was raised in a strong Christian home with two parents who were committed to the Word of God and who loved each other and are still married. And so I'm the product of amazing parenting by the grace of God. And number two, I think that my formation in my schooling in high school, I was forced to grapple with my faith at a very early age. What I mean by that is I took several courses. One of our assignments in high school was to watch secular films like Star Wars and other similar films. And we would have to dissect the worldview being presented behind these films. We would have to write papers on why the worldview in these films either aligned with a biblical worldview or did not align, and provide reasons for that. So I had from a very early age to understand why I believed what I believed. And I had to defend that in a very logical and structured manner. And I think that really was an invaluable tool that enabled me to speak out the way I've done today. And I'm super, super grateful for that. And I'm super thankful to my parents for their investment in my life.
Oh, that's amazing. And you are a good writer. Back to the FBI, have they followed up with you? Has there been any more communication with these agents who showed up at your door?
No, the FBI has not come back to my home, thankfully. But in response to your question, I think one of the most obvious laws, if you will, that was violated was our First Amendment rights to free speech. And it was really interesting because one of the first things that the FBI agents said to me when they walked in the door was, "We're here because we know what you believe. We are very familiar with your views against transgender medicine." And that's a protected right under the First Amendment, that they should not be in anyone's home for what our beliefs are. But I've noticed that it's just, as you are probably well familiar with, it's just something that's been happening more and more, where people of faith who have a moral conscience, who are objecting to something, are being targeted and being prosecuted unfairly and wrongly. I just think of the father in Pennsylvania, Mark Hawk, pro-life Catholic father of seven, who had an FBI SWAT team show up at his house 2 years ago because he was praying outside of a pro-life clinic, and they hauled him away and pointed guns at his wife and kids, and they hauled him away. Unfortunately, that is something, that is a reality that we're seeing more and more.
Well, I mentioned earlier the CAS review and other discussions about international findings and even some outright criticism of our secular professional associations. Has that brought you some comfort and encouragement in this process, that more and more science is supporting not just a faith basis for pushing back, but even a professional and research and evidence-based pushback against this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's indicative of how absolutely absurd and out of control the United States has drifted in this arena, when Europe is leading the way in policies banning gender-affirming care, and the United States is woefully behind. Although I do think that the United States has come a long way. There's many states that are now to implement a legislation protecting children. But Europe has, in my view, has led the way in this arena. And I'm so very grateful for that. And also, I think, you know, largely due to the efforts of organizations and people raising awareness, specifically, I'm thinking of Chloe Cole, who had a double mastectomy at the age of 15. And she's a detransitioner now, who is speaking out against the horrors of what is being done to children. So I'm so grateful that there's so many people who are raising collective voices against this.
So Vanessa, what's next for you professionally? I mean, you lost your job there at Texas Children's, and I don't think we have a glut of nurses, probably not in Houston. There's probably plenty of jobs out there. So what are you and your husband thinking is next for you?
Yes. Yeah, so on August 16th, 2024, I was fired by Texas Children's Hospital, because I ultimately came forward to expose that Texas Medicaid funds were being used to cover cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers, something that's been prohibited under Texas Medicaid policy since 2015. The hospital was illegally using American taxpayer dollars to pay for these treatments harming children. So I came forward in June to expose that. The hospital promptly placed me on leave and announced that I was under investigation. And 2 months later, they fired me. And so I've retained the Burke Law Group, specifically Marcella Burke, who has been just a fighter and a warrior in defending me from what I believe is retaliation for blowing the whistle. Whistleblowers are protected under law from retaliation, and yet the hospital chose to ignore that and terminated me. And so, I'm fundraising for my legal defense. This is going to be a costly, a long legal battle that I'm committed to, but I'm so grateful for the public support. I've launched a Give, Send, Go, and I would so appreciate the public support.
How can our listeners, we have a lot of prayer warriors out there in our listening audience, and some of the things are obvious that we can pray for you to support you for courage and grace and strength for this battle that's ahead. But what would you throw in there as a specific? What would be number one, two, three?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I so appreciate the prayers. First and foremost, that we would have wisdom to know how to fight back against the hospital for illegally retaliating against me. I'm in conversations with my attorneys about what we can do. And second, that I would find a job that aligns with my values, where I can affirm biological truth without fear, where I can act in accordance with my beliefs, because I am unemployed at the moment. And then just like I said, just wisdom to know how to move forward would be super appreciated.
We have a very large, thriving, active CMDA Houston group, and I trust that some of them have encountered you or been inspired by you and will reach out to you and tell you personally that they're praying for you, Vanessa. I also want our listeners to know we've actually had a special CMDA Matters episode on this very topic that earlier this summer, when all of this has been going on, the American College of Pediatricians, ACPEDS, and several of us sister supportive organizations released a Doctors Protecting Children Declaration. And listeners can go to doctorsprotectingchildren.org. It's not whistleblowing, but at least it's putting your name, and you can even do this anonymously if you're a physician or other healthcare professional who, for whatever reason, doesn't want your name out there. It can be done anonymously, but to sign on to this declaration, which is a challenge to the major healthcare associations like the AMA and the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Psychiatric, the whole list, the whole litany that continue to believe in transgender medicine. I really appreciate what you said earlier. It's not too often that I get someone saying, it is terrible. The language that we're forced to use is so difficult, and it's kids who are confused about their gender. I love that, Vanessa, what you shared with us. But if you're listening, you can go to doctorsprotectingchildren.org and sign on to the petition there. There's a document, 3 or 4 page document, very clearly outlining common sense challenges with this, especially with the science that's been hit and put out there by the CAS review. Vanessa Sivage, you are a courageous woman, a courageous nurse, and a wonderful exemplar for us at CMDA, for our members and other constituents. I find it amazing. I'm glad I saw that 2 years ago you wrote this article, and then God said, okay, Ephesians 2:10, you're my masterpiece. I've prepared you for this moment. So thank you for trusting God with your present and with your future.
Thank you so much for having me today, sharing my story.
We're grateful for Vanessa and her willingness to speak out and courageously share her experiences in Texas. It reminds me of Joshua 1, verse 9, which says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I hope Vanessa's experience also helps each of us to understand that our faith requires us to stand up for truth. And at some point, we may each be faced with persecution and discrimination for our faith in today's culture. And at some point, your conscious freedoms may be threatened, just like Vanessa faced in her own hospital. If you found yourself in the same type of situation as Vanessa, and you feel like there's nothing you can do to protect the vulnerable from this transgender ideology, then I hope you will reach out to CMDA's advocacy team. We focus on protecting the vulnerable when it comes to issues like assisted suicide, conscience freedoms, abortion, transgenderism, and other significant issues. Through a network of volunteers and like-minded organizations, we have boots on the ground across the country to fight against the legislative and cultural challenges in both federal and state arenas that are facing Christians in all 50 states. To get involved, contact CMDA's advocacy team at advocacy@cmda.org. One specific resource related to today's interview is CMDA's position statement on transgender identification. This is one of a large group of statements designed to provide you with biblical, ethical, social, and scientific understanding of a variety of bioethical issues through concise statements articulated in a compassionate and caring manner. CMDA's Ethics Committee spends countless hours researching and crafting these statements because we place so much value on providing these as resources for our members. These statements are available at cmda.org/ethics. Do you know that CMDA Matters is just one part of a growing family of CMDA podcasts? If you enjoy listening to CMDA Matters, then we hope you will visit cmda.org/podcast to check out our other podcasts, including Student Pulse Podcast, Dental Soundbites, The Voice of Advocacy, and much more. The Voice of Advocacy podcast is our newest addition to the podcast lineup, and I encourage you to check it out and to hear more about what's happening as our advocacy team focuses on protecting the vulnerable. By the way, if you're interested in going on a future CMDA biblical tour with Dr. Chupp and other CMDA leaders, here's Jamie with more information for you.
Now is the time to start making plans to join us for a CMDA biblical tour. These tours are unlike any other because each tour includes incredible Bible teaching and cultural experiences. Plus, you will meet other Christians in healthcare and create friendships that will last a lifetime. Some of our upcoming tours are headed to Greece, Italy, New Zealand, and more. Each tour is limited to around 50 participants each, and they fill up quickly. So visit cmda.org/tours to learn more and make your reservations today.
I hope you will join us again next Thursday for a conversation that Dr. Chupp had with Dr. Robert Lear, who has served more than 30 years volunteering for short-term mission trips, specifically to Cuba, which is where his family lived for 14 years when he was young. It's a great story, so please listen in. As we close, I want to share a couple verses Vanessa mentioned during the podcast from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I hope you will join me in praying for Vanessa and for others who are following God's commands and protecting the vulnerable from transgender ideology. Vanessa's courage is a reminder of how much impact we can have as Christians in healthcare to speak truth into our culture and our profession. And as we do so, we will bring the hope and healing of Christ to the world. And that's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. God bless. See you again next week.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.